everyone else to stand to their feet with me and turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. Romans chapter number 14. And I want to read the remainder of the chapter we read on last week. Romans chapter number 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then you hit Romans, right before you hit the letters to Corinthians. So Romans chapter 14. I want to read the end of that chapter, which is verses 14 through 23. Say amen when you've located that text. To God be the glory. In that text, you will find these words written, Romans chapter number 14, verse number 14. I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat, nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Here is the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me, beloved, on the title for a second week, the same title that we used last week. My neighbor's keeper, not his judge. My neighbor's keeper and not his judge. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we come before you now in the blessed and wonderful name of Jesus, our Christ, and our Redeemer. We come asking, Lord, that you who sit high would continue to look low upon your people, and that God, you would continue to be glorified and the people of God continue to be edified. I am grateful, Lord, for these who stand and sit in this sanctuary today. I am grateful for those who shall listen to these words of instruction and inspiration later on, in whatever means and mode that they listen to this message. And I pray right now that the anointing of the Most High God would fall fresh in this place. Thank you for being here through our praise. Thank you for being here through our prayer. And now, Lord, continue to manifest yourself through our preaching. We're grateful for baptismal candidates who sit here today, Lord, preparing to go in the water. May you speak to them and may you speak to us all. And at the end of this time, may all of us have concluded that it was good for us to have been in the house of the Lord on this Lord's day. Let your word not return void. Illuminate minds, encourage hearts, convict somebody's soul. And God, ultimately, we shall give you all the glory, all the praise, and all of the honor. This is our prayer in Jesus' sweet and wonderful name. We pray it that all of God's children, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you, beloved. God keep you is our prayer. This morning, I want to use the occasion of the birth of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as an opportunity to focus in on his life, but also to focus in on the message that God used to give to the people of the planet through his great ministry. A young man who had barely reached, or he was soon to reach his fourth decade of living, and an assassin's bullet cut him down. April 4th shall always be remembered by those of us as a time in which a lot of hope seemingly was killed and assassinated. But how many of you know the person that God uses is never bigger than the God who uses him? And so the message, although they may have killed a great dreamer and visionary, the message never was assassinated. And so on tomorrow, we shall celebrate, pause and celebrate a time of reflection for a great man of God. And I always say there are three things, and I put them in the bulletin, that I never want us to forget about the life of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. One is that he was so well educated, doctor, PhD, earned from Boston University, a man who studied to show himself approved, not only God's word, but achieve great heights in the academy. Could have been a professor somewhere on a university campus, could have taught seminary, religion in a seminary, a school of theology, could have been anywhere, but what he chose to do, what he was led to do, was to go back home down south. After migrating to Philadelphia, after going up north to Boston, he was led to go back home down south and to pastor God's people. But well educated, he was a doctor, earned PhD. He received several other honorary PhDs or DDDs or THDs throughout his life, his short life, but he earned a PhD from Boston University. He also was a man who came from a strong, intact family, mother and a father who had brothers and sisters, loved ones. Dr. King is really the product of one of Atlanta's great elite families. His daddy was a great preacher. Many of those who were his contemporaries called him Daddy King. And so therefore, the late Reverend Dr. King Jr. was also descended from a daddy who also was greatly accomplished, very well achieved in his own right. Dr. King had a mother and father that nurtured him and moved him to great heights. And although he was able to relate to the poorest of the poor, as well as the riches of the rich, we look today and we see so many young men and women who don't know their fathers and who will never have such an experience of an intact two-parent nuclear family such as the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. But to God be the glory for what God gave him. And so the junior represents, in my estimation, his family connection, his connection to a great mother and a great father. The Reverend, in my estimation, is the ultimate thing that we should never forget. For the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King should always be remembered as a man who was inspired by God. And so I like, just like I get offended when we take the Christ out of Christmas, one of the greatest offenses, I believe, to the Christian church is when marketeers and commercialists take Christ out and they put Xmas for Christmas. It is the great offense for me to have someone take Jesus out of the reason for Christmas and to reduce it to a mere day of commodity and transaction. And in the same way, I take great offense when we simply reduce the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's celebration, his birthday, his time, his commitment, his achievements, by simply calling him Dr. King. For as much as we achieve and we acknowledge his erudition, his great mind, never forget the fact that he was a man of God, before he earned an MDiv, before he earned a PhD, before he led a bus boycott in Montgomery. He was a man who wrestled with God, heard the faith of his God, heard the call of his God, and said, I don't know what's ahead of me, but I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, before you achieve anything great, you got to be sure to be submitted to a great God. Because if you're going to achieve anything great in this world, you got to let God go before you and move mountains out of your way. The Reverend Dr. King could not have achieved what he achieved if God was not in front of him, opening up doors, moving mountains out of his way, building bridges over troubled water. So let us who are people of faith never forget that he was a called man of God, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so we pause and we honor him today, and we thank the Lord for his 39 years of living, a very short life, but did such a great work in that time of his life. Let's give God a praise offering for him and for his ministry and for his legacy in the blessed name of Jesus our Christ. Today I'm going to be celebrating with the Martin Luther King State Commission at 3 o'clock, as they have invited me to be their speaker at the State Museum right here on West State Street. Tickets are free. We invite you to come if you can and share with the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Commission today. And on tomorrow, we have all the Sisters of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated in their commemoration breakfast of the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. At 9 a.m. I believe the doors will open around between 8 and 8:30, but the program will start at 9 a.m. It's at the Weston Forestal off of Route 1, and we invite you to share with us. All my AKs to stand up. We want to just give you a little shout out. I can't do a ski weep, but we'll give a little shout out. Amen. All my AK sisters all over the sanctuary, to God be the glory. God bless you all. And I'm honored. I want to certainly thank Sister Mincy for taking the lead in coordinating and organizing the event for this year. So we have much to do with remembering, or much to do in remembering the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life. And today's sermon speaks to the very thing that I think was at the crux of his life. Today's sermon is about relationships that we have with our fellow brothers and our fellow sisters. Paul opens up the text last week, and I want to just remind you of some of the verses that we read last week. But why do you judge your brother? This is Romans 14, verse 10. Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And so Paul challenges the people of Corinth, the people of Rome, the Christians in Rome, to say to them, be mindful of your relationships with your brother. It's one thing to have this vertical relationship with your God. Be mindful of your horizontal relationship with your brother and your sister. Verse 11 says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. Put verse 13 up there again. It says, so then each of us shall give account of himself, of God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. Let me do that again. Romans 14, verse 12 and 13 says, so then each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block in or a cause to fall in our brother's way. The late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King speaks about it. One of my favorite quotes is a quote in which he wrote in his letter to the world from the Birmingham jail. He writes this quote, and this is the quote I want you all to just keep in the back of your heads today and tomorrow. He says, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." We are caught, most of us just know that part of the quote. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. But he goes on to say in his letter from the Birmingham jail, "We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly." We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. Let us never forget such a powerful quote, that we are connected to one another. We are indeed our brother and sister's keeper. And so therefore, what Reverend Dr. King was trying to say is that you, my white brothers and sisters who are operating out of racism and hatred, your hatred and your racism adversely affects you as much as it affects me. You then have to understand your interconnection to those that you are oppressing, because although you have the power to oppress, it also robs you of your humanity and God's divinity that is inside of you. And so therefore, how you treat your brother and your sister does indeed matter. Dr. King's quote should often be reminded to those of us to continue to say, what is our relationship upward to God? And what is our relationship horizontally to each other? We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. Not just poetic language, but a great reminder to our interconnectedness. I see Brother Vereen here today. Fred Vereen. Fred Vereen challenged Brother, one of my pastoral colleagues, the Reverend Jeff Vamos, to talk about how can you two pastors try to break down the wall that often divides Christians on Sunday mornings. The late Reverend Dr. Gardner Taylor said, one of his great quotes is that the most segregated hour in the Christian church is 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. If we look around, we see that this is a predominantly African-American church set in the heart of Trenton. I'm not ashamed of that. We worship God in a rich worship tradition, but our doors are open to anybody, everybody who wants to come in, black, white, red or brown, gay, lesbian, straight, rich, poor, male, female. Everybody's welcome to come through the door in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, one of my seminary brothers from 1998, Jake Kim. Jake Kim, raise your hand back there. In the chapel, Jake is a Korean brother. We worship together. We study together. He now works as an administrator in our seminary relations department. And yet, Jake, I know, is committed to the Lord. Jake comes from a background that is richly multicultural, predominantly Korean, richly multicultural. And yet, we see that Koreans often tend to worship with their Korean brothers and sisters. African Americans often tend to worship with our African American or Afro-Caribbean brothers and sisters. Our Caucasian brothers and sisters happen to often worship, but somewhere along the line, we've got to break down the walls. There's nothing wrong with that, but break down the walls of separation and segregation. So Fred Vereen challenged Jeff Vamos and I. So today, the weekend in which we celebrate the Reverend Dr. King at 10 o'clock, I'm going to travel after I preach, after I baptize, and after I bless a baby. Amen. All in the next hour. Amen, somebody. I'm going to get in somebody's car. They're going to drive me up 206. I'm going to go worship at the Presbyterian Church of Lawrenceville. I'm going to preach for their 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock hour. And then Jeff and I are going to get back in the car, drive back down here to Trenton. And he's going to bring some of his predominantly white parishioners. I'm going to bring some of my predominantly Afro and Afro-Caribbean parishioners. And we're going to go up there. They're going to come down here for the 11 o'clock service. And we're going to do our little bit of breaking down the walls of separation and segregation. A black Baptist urban church and a white Presbyterian suburban church. We're going to swap pulpits for 11 o'clock and we're going to say the Lord is God. The Lord is reigning. The Lord is on the throne. And we too are caught up in an inescapable network of mutuality. Now that's ceremonial. It's cosmetic. Jeff is going to go back and it's still going to be predominantly white suburban Presbyterian church, and I'm going to come back to predominantly African, African-American, Afro-Caribbean, urban Baptist church. But if we can be connected in spirit, and we can model that, that we're not separated, but we are connected, then I believe the message of hope and godliness will go forth, and Dr. King's dream will certainly continue to be alive. Dr. Paul echoes these words when he says, you are your brother's keeper. Be mindful how you treat your brother. Be connected to your brother. Understand the relationship you have with and to your brother. So today, I want to continue this theme and talk about certain aspects of the remainder of chapter 14 that gets that with which Paul continues to amplify this theme, which I also believe is Dr. King's theme, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's theme. Paul says in Romans chapter 14, let me go back. I'm going to talk about five words today, and I'm going to do it relatively quickly. One, I'm going to talk about consideration. I want to talk about construction. I want to talk about concentration. I want to talk about confirmation. I want to talk about condemnation. All of this will be on our website. You can pull these notes down later. But I want you to walk verse by verse with me. I'll amplify the theme that's in the verse. Verse 14, Romans 14, verse 14, verse A says, I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Paul uses the Jewish dietary laws. Remember I said last week, our Jewish brothers and sisters don't eat fish that don't have scales on it. They don't eat scavengers of the sea. They don't eat lobsters. They don't eat shrimp. Because the Bible says in the book of Leviticus, stay away from these kinds of animals. They don't eat pork because the Bible says don't eat the meat of two-hoofed animals. There are certain dietary laws that are in the Bible that our Jewish brothers and sisters, and even our Muslim brothers and sisters, even our Adventist brothers and sisters, most of them still look at those dietary laws and say it's good to not do these kinds of things. Some of you know too much pork can lead to a bad thing. Amen. Now, I like some ribs, but too much of it can lead to a bad thing. The reality is I like shrimp. I like crab. But too much of it can lead to a bad thing. High in cholesterol. All of this, particularly if you do like me, melt it in butter. Amen. Trying to melt the crab in a cup of butter. Paul says, but to your brother, forget about what you want. Look at what your brother and your sister is looking at you. So if it's unclean to him, then it's unclean. If it's clean to him, then it's clean. And so don't impose your dietary restrictions on somebody else. It's good for you, yeah, but be mindful of how your brother is receiving that which you are doing. How many of you know some of us can be so heavenly minded we're no earthly good? Some of us can be so Holy Ghost filled that we don't know how to communicate the Holy Ghost to our brothers and sisters. Some of us can be so uppity, so bougie, so full of ourselves. Like we got it going on. We're the only one. We're bags of chips and cans of Coke. Nobody else. We don't put our pants on one leg at a time. We look down on other folk who don't look like us, do what we do, sing like we sing, pray like we pray, dance like we dance, worship like we look down on other folk. And Paul said last week, be mindful how you judge your brother. I understand you're trying to purify your body, but understand he's going to have to give an account for how he lived his life. She's going to have to give an account for how she lived her life. You can share the love of Christ, but stop trying to impose your religiosity. Come on, somebody. On other folk. Verse 15 says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Some of us get so holy. Yeah, I don't eat this because I'm so holy. I don't do this because I'm so holy. I don't go here, but I'm so holy. I don't go there. I'm so. Well, just a couple of years ago, you used to do that. A couple of months ago, you used to smoke that. A decade ago, you used to drink that. A couple of years ago, you used to go to the Candlelight and Klotz Bar and the Shark Club and the some of these other clubs around. Some of y'all used to do that. I know you've been saved and sanctified, but never forget where you came from. Never forget what you used to do. Never forget what God delivered you from. How many of y'all
You're not where you want to be, but you better thank God you're not where you used to be. Paul says, consider your brother. All things are indeed pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Listen, I'm not a big wine drinker. I don't do it. I don't have a taste for it. But it doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong to drink wine. Some of us get so Holy Ghost filled, we don't think, we try to impose our standards on other folk. I have a taste every now and again, but if I'm in the company of a brother or a sister who is just coming from Alcoholics Anonymous, why would I then get my wine and start drinking in front of them, and I know they're struggling with their own addiction? Or flip it around, why would I try to be so holy? And I know they're still wrestling. They're just a month into their sobriety. Why would I try to be so holy? Either side, you got to be mindful of not making your brother stumble. That's what Paul is talking about. Get outside of your own self and think about your brother. Think about your sister. Be considerate of where they're at in their particular walk with God. And at the end of the day, it's their walk. You're not going to judge them. God is going to judge them. Be considerate, Paul says. Point number two, construction. He says in verse 15, do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Isn't that a powerful quote? And you can substitute food for anything. Do not destroy somebody else with your so-called holiness. Amen, somebody. The one for whom Christ died. Paul echoes the same thing. He says in verse number 20, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. What's more important? Trying to get your brother to a different place? Trying to help your sister rise above? Or you trying to be so holy and sanctified because you don't eat certain kinds of food? That's good for you. God bless you. But I'm over here. I'm still wrestling with some stuff. I'm glad you got your stuff together. I'm still on the rough side of a mountain. I'm still down in the valley. I'm still on a rocky bridge. Have some consideration. Going through. I'm glad you've arrived. But the point of the fact of the matter is none of us have ever arrived. Some of us think we've arrived. Some of us think we supermen and superwomen. Such Holy Ghost feel that we float on the air. But I need to remind everybody, you woke up this morning, put your pants one leg at a time. You brush your teeth one brush at a time. Come on, somebody. You are nothing greater than anybody else. And so therefore, we must always be humble, considerate of our brothers and sisters, doing nothing to tear them down, but doing everything to build them up. If you can't help me, don't hurt me. If you can't say anything good about me, don't say anything at all. Paul says, construct your brother. Build your brother and your sister. Don't tear them down. But too many of us major in the minor things and minor in the major things. Too many of us focus on the negative stuff as opposed to giving God the glory. For too many of us blame God for what we don't have as opposed to thanking Him for what we do. Too many of us are looking backwards as opposed to looking up. Too many of us are looking down. God says, don't destroy what God is doing because you want to try to project some sense of fake holiness. Be real. He says, brings me to my third point, concentrate on the things that matter. Verse 16 says, therefore, do not let your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not eating and it is not drinking, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify one another. I love these series of verses because they are as practical can be. Too many of us are looking at the wrong thing, but God is saying to us, the kingdom of God is not about what you put in your body. For how many of you know it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles a man, but it's what comes out of your mouth. That the fact you can eat all the right things, you can say all the right, you can do all the, go to all the right places, but if the inside is corrupt, if the inside is messed up, if the inside is spoiled, if the inside is rotten, whatever you dress it up, it's still gonna come out filthy. It's not about what goes inside. It's not about what's on the outside. It's about what comes under from the inside and comes out to be a blessing to God's people. Paul says it's not, the kingdom of God is bigger than your food. The kingdom of God is bigger than your car. The kingdom of God is bigger than your zip code. The kingdom of God is bigger than your suit. The kingdom of God is bigger than your weed. I know, sisters, y'all got some that is bigger than your weed. And the kingdom of God is bigger than your eyelashes, your shoes, your coat, your purse. The kingdom of God is bigger than everything you got on the outside. The kingdom of God is about joy. The kingdom of God is about peace. The kingdom of God is about righteousness. The kingdom of God is about love. The kingdom of God. Do I have a witness here this morning? Tap your neighbor and say, the kingdom is bigger than what you think. Brings me to my fourth point, confirmation. For he who serves Christ, verse 18, in these things, you got the right order now. You're concentrating on what matters. You're not looking at the outside, you're looking on the inside. You're not judging folks, you're trying to just make sure your stuff is all right. For he who serves Christ doing these things is acceptable to God. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I want to be acceptable to God. I stopped trying to please my neighbor, and I started trying to please God. I stopped trying to make other folk happy, because I realized I'll never make everybody happy. But as long as I make God happy, that's all that matters. I stopped trying to get pats on the back from everybody in the church. As long as God says to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. I stopped trying to make y'all happy. I sought to make God happy. Because if I try to live for you, and live for you, and live for you, I'll never live for him. But as long as I got my eyes stayed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, then I'm going to be all, as long as I'm looking up to the hills. From whence cometh all of my help? Stop trying to please other folk. Just talking to Reverend Holloway on yesterday. She said, Pastor, I hear what you say. You often say, stop dancing where there's no music. Stop itching where you're not scratching. Stop laughing where there's nothing funny. Stop trying to please other people. And start trying to be acceptable to God. Long as you all right with God, everything else will fall into place. Long as you on God's side, everything else will fall into place. As long as you keep lifting up the Lord, my
mountains will be moved. As long as you keep putting God first, doors shall be open. As long as you keep putting God first, bridges shall be built. How many of you know He's a way maker? He's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load sharer. He's a mountain mover. He's bread when I'm hungry, water when I'm thirsty. I'm trying to do what's acceptable to God. Brings me to my last point. Condemnation. For verse 22 and 23 says, do you have faith? Paul asks the rhetorical question, do you have faith? Tap your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you have faith? The answer is, if you got it, have it to yourself. Why are you trying to prove your faith to other people? Have it to yourself. Why are you trying to convince other folk that you're holy? Shakespeare says, she doth protest too loudly. In other words, she talking too much. There's a reason she trying to convince me she's holy. Because maybe she really ain't holy. Y'all not getting that point, are you? Folk who try too hard to convince you that there's something really aren't what they're trying to convince you that they are. Because if you know who you are, you ain't got to prove it to nobody. If you know whose you are, you don't have to prove it to anybody. If you got to walk, go ahead and walk. If you got to talk, go ahead and just talk. If you got to be, go ahead and just be. Because your witness will speak louder than your words. If you got faith, have it to yourself. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever you do does not root it in the wellspring of God's word, you might as well not do it at all. Whatever you say that is not anchored in the truth of God's word, and if you really are anchored, you would never say it to hurt somebody. If you're really anchored, you would never do it to hurt somebody. Because he who knows who they are and knows who they are knows that there but for the grace of God go you and me. And so all I gotta do is keep counting my blessings, count them one by one, count my blessings. I can see what the Lord has done. I'm not gonna judge you. I'm not gonna condemn you. I'm just gonna thank God for what God has done for me. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. You don't know like I know how the Lord has set me free. You don't know like I know how the Lord has brought me out. You don't know like I know. So if I jump up and shout, pardon me. If I run a little bit, pardon me. If I open up my mouth and shout a little bit, pardon me. Because you don't know what God has done for me. Somebody shout hallelujah. 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 Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess and clergy, help me go extend the invitation. If you're not doing it out of faith, stop perpetrating. Just stop it. Man, I love God's word. It's real. It's true. And I pray that somebody here hears the word of God. That's all I want. Hear the word. Listen to the word. I'm my brother's keeper. I'm my sister's keeper. I'm not their judge. I'm just somebody just like you trying to go through this life. I got faults, I got frailties, I got fallibilities, I got foibles, but I'm thankful that I'm covered under the blood of Jesus. If you're here today, I invite you to bring it before the God. If you want special prayer, go ahead and grab one of the persons in the aisle, grab their hand, they'll pray for you. But more importantly today, what I'm asking you to consider is your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. If you're here today, I invite you. If you have never made a declaration, submission to God, I invite you. I invite you today. If you know the Lord, to God be the glory. And I invite you to come then join a church that's trying our best to be on the Lord's side. We're not perfect. Not perfect. I'll be the first to tell you. I'm an imperfect man. An imperfect pastor. But I serve a perfect God. And I invite someone today to come yield to that God. Go ahead and sing, Jim. Go ahead and sing the song. The doors of the church. Anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here?
I give myself away.